Good morning. Good to see you this morning. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy week in prayer. Certainly on prayers on behalf of members of my family and members of our family here. And I just thought it'd be good for us to reflect upon the assurance that we have in prayer. I've been reflecting on that this week. As children of God, some of our greatest blessings we have are associated with and obtained by prayer. We know that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1. And one of those prayers is, one of those blessings is the fact that we can approach God in prayer with an assurance that He hears us and an assurance that He will answer our prayers. Forgiveness of sins is probably the greatest that a child of God has, that we know that we're baptized for the remission of our sins, but as we continue the life of a Christian, we stumble and fall and will sin from time to time. And God has called upon us, instructed us to pray, to humble ourselves before Him, to confess our sins before Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's true of the children of God even in Old Testament times. In Psalm 32, in the first five verses, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute or charge iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and in my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Certainly, the psalmist here is expressing an assurance that God has not left him, that God is with him, and certainly even in his sin, as he confesses his sin, repents of it, he has expressed an assurance that God has forgiven him of his sin. In Acts chapter 8, we find where Simon the sorcerer, a new Christian, made a mistake and fell back into his pattern of pride and wanting superiority, I guess, among his citizens and even in the church, and asked for a gift that was reserved only, a spiritual gift that was reserved only for the apostles. Peter responded and says, "Repent of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven you." And you'll remember that Simon requested that Peter pray for him. That is in keeping with what we find in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so there the truth is plainly stated, that if we as children of God confess our sins before Him, He is faithful, He is trustworthy, that He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Regardless of what that sin is, if we truly humble ourselves and repent and confess it before God and ask for forgiveness, we have an assurance that God will forgive us of our sins. Praying for others, we are assured of that as well. An intercessory prayer is a great blessing. In James 5 and verse 16, we're told to confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's an interesting passage when you consider it in its context, because in its context, James has been talking about is if anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders and pray. They will pray over him and anoint him with oil. There were various different medicinal oils then, as even as there are now. But it was in that context that he switched from a physical infirmity to a spiritual infirmity. That not only is prayer effective for others in regards to their health, but it is effective for others in regards to their transgressions. Part of our humbling ourselves before God is humbling ourselves before each other. Today we call this accountability, being accountable to God, being accountable to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and our brothers and sisters in Christ holding us accountable for being faithful to God. And so we have this assurance that if we confess our trespasses to one another and pray for one another, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We will be forgiven. We are to cast all of our care upon him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him for or because he cares for you. As I was going through this week, and one special case after another came to me, whether it be in my family or whether it be in my spiritual family here, I actually started to become a little bit overwhelmed. And I couldn't help but think how God feels. Think of all of the prayer requests that he gets every moment of every hour from people all over the world praying on behalf of special things that they are going through. He is indeed an awesome God. And here he invites us to cast all of our care, cast all of your care upon me, he says. I care for you. And not only does he care for us, he can do something about it. You know, sometimes we talk to each other and we express sincere care for one another. But there's really not much I can do. And somebody says, well, I can't do much except pray. And I'll tell you, 90% of the time, I'm going to come back and say, don't ever discount prayer. Prayer is a great thing. God hears and answers the prayers of the faithful. So don't say, well, all I can do is pray. Pray. Pray fervently. Pray believing. Because God hears and answers prayers. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is prayer. It's an intensified prayer. It's intense pleading. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, because he cares for you, and he can do something about it. In our prayers, certainly we express our gratitude. Don't just ask God for things. Thank God for what you have. In fact, even as we just noticed there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, that we are to let our requests be made known unto God. But notice that as we let those requests be made known unto God, we let those requests be made known with thanksgiving. And I take from that before we see God's answer to our prayer, we thank him for the answer. We thank him for his foresight, that he's able to see beyond, that he's able to see what is best. And he's going to provide what is very best. And so as you make your request known to God, make that request with thanksgiving, having an assurance that God is hearing your prayer and He is going to answer your prayer for your very best. The next verse says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ." I might not know what is going to happen specifically, but I can know what's best is going to happen. And I can be at peace with that. Not my will, but God's will be done. And I will, as I see His will unfolding, I will praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him and remain faithful to Him. We find mercy and grace in our time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly," or with assurance, "to the throne of grace," favor, His favor. He favorably looks upon us as we come before His throne, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, find favor to help in that time of need. So we have an assurance that God hears our prayers, He answers our prayers. We are invited by His favor to come before Him in prayer, and as we do that, we realize that we can obtain mercy and His favor in our times of need. How do we know that our prayers are being heard by God? Well, prayer is an exercise of faith. Romans 10 and verse 17, of course, tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. In other words, God teaches us to pray, tells us to pray, tells us how to pray, tells us what to pray for, and how those prayers should be offered. And as long as we do that, we have an assurance that He's going to hear and answer our prayers. So we realize that praying correctly does not come naturally. Sometimes we'll hear people say, or even ask the question, "Well, I don't know how to pray. How should I pray?" And I've heard people say, "Well, it doesn't matter how you pray. Just start talking to God. Just let God know how you feel." That's not a true answer. It's not a complete answer, and it's not a true answer. I want you to notice an incident in the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. It came to pass as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." What did Jesus say? "Oh, I don't need to teach you to pray. Just start talking to God." No. Jesus taught them how to pray. And from there, He went on to say, "When you pray, pray, 'Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" And you're familiar with the rest of that. Some people call that the Lord's Prayer. And they repeat that prayer without understanding that Jesus intended this prayer to be an example and a model. Now, when you pray to God, realize who you're praying to. Hallowed be thy name. God is Almighty God. Even His very name is to be hallowed and adored. And we'll not go on to express, you know, the teaching of that teaching. But the point here is that we need to be taught how to pray so that we pray correctly, so that we do find favor before God when we pray to Him, and that He will answer us. If we are to be taught how to pray, then we need to learn how to pray correctly before God. Prayer must come from a humble heart. In Luke chapter 18, in verses 9 through 14, Jesus spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to a temple to pray, and one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Don't take God for granted. Don't take God for granted in the fact that he has assured us that he will hear and answer our prayers. And don't take God for granted that he's going to answer your prayers based upon your perception of your righteous standing before God. None of us stand before God perfect. All of us stand before God in need of improvement. Honor God, reverence him as you address him, and humbly submit your request to him. In James 4, verses 6 through 8, we read, he gives more grace. He gives even more favor. And he says, and this is from Proverbs 3 and verse 34, God resists the proud, but gives grace or favor to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Assurance of prayer is a lot based upon whether we are keeping his commandments. 1 John 3 and verse 22 says, whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, certainly, as we go through this list of praying to God acceptably, we realize that receiving what we request of God isn't entirely dependent upon us keeping his commandments, but it is one of those elements. We cannot disobey God and expect him to hear and answer our prayers. We cannot disrespect God by sinning and transgressing his will for us, and then expect him to respect our request of him. God is not mocked. And we need to be aware of that. We must pray in harmony with his will. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Do you know the will of God? How can I know the will of God, someone might say? Well, it's revealed right here. This book is his word speaking his will to us. If we're living in harmony with his will and we know his will and we know that the things that we request and pray for are ultimately to be realized because we want to use the answer to those prayers to his praise, to his honor, and to his glory. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we approach his throne confidently, reverently, humbly, without taking him for granted, without taking the answer to our prayer, a favorable answer to our prayer, for granted. We must pray in full assurance of faith. James 1, verses 6 through 8 says, let him ask in faith without doubting. You know, sometimes, many times, let me correct that. Many times we ask for things that kind of look impossible. But we are reminded that nothing is impossible with God. So when you make a request of God, pray without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Always trust in the promises of God and the assurances of God. Matthew 11 and verses 22 through 24, Jesus said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I don't know why you would pray for a mountain to be removed and cast into the sea to the honor and glory of God, but God said, even to that extent. I believe that this was sort of speaking in a parable type of thing, an expression and an extreme, if you will. God can do even that. We don't ask him to remove physical mountains and cast them into the physical sea. But sometimes the things that we ask for seem to be that great of a task. And God says, it will be done. Whoever does not doubt, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Now, remember, as you make those requests of God, he's not saying, you know, ask for a bunch of things for yourself to be consumed selfishly and to your praise or honor or enjoyment, but we're to be praying in harmony with his will, that he will be glorified. We're asking for things that God would want us to ask for. We're asking for things that are going to honor and glorify him. We must pray with intensity. We must pray with energy. James 5 and verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That is always true. Whether you're praying intercessory prayer on behalf of a brother or sister in Christ who is overtaken in sin, whether you're praying intercessory prayer on behalf of our national leaders, whether you're praying for anything that you have need of or a loved one has need of, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's not the passive prayer. It's not a passing prayer. It's not a taking God for granted prayer. Oh, God, I need this person to be healed. Take care of that for me, would you? God is not our servant. We are his servants. It's interesting that these two words, effective, fervent, actually come from one Greek word, energao, which you kind of see the word energy there in that, don't you? It's an energetic prayer. It's an intensive prayer. It's a sincere prayer. Vine says it means to put forth power, to be operative, to work. You're expecting something. You're praying with expectation. You're praying intensely. I've heard many prayers from this pulpit that have been such. Many prayers have been offered, I know, on your knees and around your table on behalf of loved ones of loved ones in this congregation and loved ones of this congregation. God has heard those prayers and has answered each and every one of them. We should praise Him and honor Him and glorify Him. And as He has invited us, continue to offer such prayers before His throne because He cares for us. Prayer is an exercise of faith. God tells us to pray to Him. He tells us how to pray to Him. And as we do that, we have the assurance that our prayers are being heard by God. That assurance is based on His assurances from His Word. What a great blessing we have in Almighty God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and friend. They will not leave us. They will not forsake us. They invite us to cast all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, I don't know why you would want to continue out of His family and separated from all of the spiritual blessings that are in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're saying, well, I don't know why I would want to do that either. All things are ready. If you're ready to put on Christ this morning in baptism as He washes your sins away in His blood, as you obey Him in being baptized for the remission of your sins, if you're ready for that, we're ready to assist you in that. If you're here today and you're a child of God, out of favor with God, and you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ on your behalf, please let it be known. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?